Hi everyone, welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all stories happening in Riverside, California. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. On today's podcast, we're going to interview two former students from Alvord Unified School District. One graduated from the class of 2018 from Norte Vista High School. Her name is Bianca Rocha. Another student graduated from La Sierra High School with the class of 2015. His name is Emmanuel Heron.
Who else do we have today?
We also have a school counselor from Rubidoux High School in Harupa Valley District. And we're going to interview her about on-the-spot admissions that she does at her school.
Yeah, she was talking about having what she called the Rubidoux 10, about some kids who went to Stanislaus, which is not a school that's very well known, so should be kind of interesting.
Yeah, they're great people. I'm excited to talk to them and get some tips for all the educators and the students out there. Also, at the end of the podcast, we're going to play one of the songs that one of our students, or actually two of our former students, created from La Sierra High School. They graduated with the class of 2014 and came back and helped the class of 2015 with the Michelle Obama FAFSA contest. And they created a song. It's called Reaching Higher. And it talks about FAFSA, scholarships, and, of course, reaching higher. And it's a pretty amazing song. And the two girls that wrote the song, their names are Jessica Perry and Jackie Perry. So be sure you listen at the end of the podcast to catch that.
Also today, we actually do have, you just did an interview with Sergeant Kuzik that went up on YouTube, that we'll play the audio from that here on the podcast as well.
Yes, yeah, so he was interviewed for the Riverside County Office of Education. They're having a conference in October, and he's unable to make it, so he wanted to go ahead and create something short for them to show the educators and the school counselors that attend the conference.
Yeah, so we'll cover that as well. So let's get to it. There was a lot of good stuff in this episode. So, well, here we go.
Dan and I got Letitia. She's a school counselor in at Rubidoux High School, which is in Harupa Valley, which is also in Riverside County. I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Leticia Lastimis Medjin. I have been a counselor at Rubidoux for about 12 years. Before that, I was at Harupa Valley High School for 7 or 8. So I have been with my district for a very long time, almost 20 years. So I'm one of the most senior counselors at Rubidoux, and I have done some different activities since I've been there. So I don't know if you have specific questions.
Yeah, Dan and I want to ask you questions about on-the-spot admissions. We heard you do a great job with that. If you want to talk about that and how it got started at your school.
Sure. I actually grew up in Turlock, or nearby Turlock, so that was my home school where I should have attended. Instead, I came to Southern California, and I wasn't able to attend. So I came across individuals that work at Stanislaus, and we kind of made a connection with them. I invited them to come to my school and educate our campus, our teachers and staff, students about Stanislaus. You know, Stanislaus is not a well-known
school.
Is not a well-known campus, but I think it's a little gem. It's a really good school that offers a lot of different services, and that was probably one of the reasons why I wanted to invite them to come over.
What is the selling point for Stanislaus? Because like you said, it is kind of, I passed through Turlock many times on the junior trips that we take up north, and I actually do want to visit it just to kind of see. My goal is to get to every CSU to kind of like get the kids an idea of what they're all like, but what's the appeal of Stanislaus?
One of the good things about Stanislaus is the campus is beautiful. I've been to the campus because my family, I have several family members that graduated from Stanislaus, so I was very familiar with their programs. The campus is beautiful. It's a small campus. So that was one of the reasons behind wanting to invite Stanislaus to our school. And then from my experience, Stanislaus is not impacted. It's a small campus. it kind of has like a little family oriented. They offer a lot of support services for our kids. It's just a really nice community, quiet community. And that was basically why I thought Stanislaus would be a good campus to bring to us, especially because it's a non-impacted campus.
For those students or educators that may not know what On the Spot is, can you explain what that is?
So On the Spot admissions came about after we had conversations with Stanislaus, and they basically agreed to come to our school and have students pre-screened, and anyone that was meeting their GPA and was genuinely interested in attending Stanislaus, we would have a pool of applicants that could possibly attend Stanislaus. So what they did is they came to our campus with some letters of conditional letters of acceptance. So we had a small ceremony with them. They came and talked about their campus, talked about the strong programs that they have, their services that they have, and after evaluating their transcripts and SAT scores, they accepted them on the spot. So basically, on-the-spot admissions means coming to the students, reviewing their transcripts, and telling them, yes, I want you to come. You have been conditionally accepted, and it's just their first letter of acceptance to the students.
Do you have any data you could share with us? Maybe within the recent past year, how many students went to Stanislaus?
The first time that we did on-the-spot admissions, our number one goal was educating our teachers, letting Stanislaus be known at our campus, and letting our students know about Stanislaus. We had about 40 students going through the process as far as applying to Stanislaus. We had several kids, about 20 of them accepted. At the end of the season or at the end of the year, we actually had 10 kids that attended Stanislaus. So that was like, it was a big accomplishment, that going from zero, nobody knowing about Stanislaus, to having 10 students attend Stanislaus in the fall. That was one of our big celebrations.
That's awesome. You're doing great things over at your site. Can you also share any other college and career events that you do at Rubidoux?
So one of my main goals has been to find good options, or options that are accessible and viable for our kids. Non-impacted campuses has been a focus. We went to Channel Islands. I think Channel Islands is close to us, a little closer than Stanislaus. It's not an impacted school. So we have been trying to bring options to our students, because I know that a lot of the kids want to go to San Diego State, or they want to go to UCLA, or they want to go to some of the very impacted campuses. And it's great to have those goals. It's great to have those options. But I think it's good to also be open-minded and have a plan B, or have more to apply broadly, to apply to campuses that, yeah, those are good schools, they're accredited schools, they offer a lot of services, and those could be good options for the students to get their bachelor's. So we do have field trips to those schools, we do talk to the kids, do presentations in the class, we do a senior 101 before school starts to get them started and to find out where they are as far as the application process. We have the FAFSA. We try to educate the parents as far as college information. We have done evening workshops, and then we do coffee with the guidance coordinators regularly. So we not only have presentations and workshops for the students, but we also try to work with the parents.
I got a question about some of the logistics with the on-the-spot admission. So we've seen that a lot with, or quick admissions anyway, with some of the private colleges around here. I'm specifically thinking like La Sierra. I have a partnership with La Sierra Criminal Justice Program, actually. But how does that part work? Because the first thing that pops in your head when I think CSU is the application, is CSU applies. So does that pertain anything to do with it? Is this kind of off the books? I'm thinking about, you know, fee waivers, things like that. How does that part kind of work?
The second and third time we did on-the-spot admissions, we kind of discussed with them some of the logistics that we needed to kind of work on. From the first time, it was like a big celebration, and it was just a really big event, but we kind of were trying to fine-tune it and do a little more detail-oriented. So the second and third time that we did it, we actually had students apply first. So we were almost doing a little more next steps with the kids. And we had them apply, we had them provide us permission, or give us permission to share the SAT and the transcripts with the CSU, with Stanislaus. So we went ahead and sent the information, scanned all those transcripts and all the information that they needed prior to them coming. So when they came, they had already identified the students that they could admit on the spot, and they were already given a conditional letter. And there were some kids that they wanted to speak to individually and kind of talk to them about their transcripts and some things that they needed to do before they actually could be accepted.
Okay.
But they did bring, like I said, the next steps information as far as housing and as far as some of the programs that they have for retention and additional services. And I think making a connection with that staff member that was going to follow up with them, their school, I think it really made a difference.
And, she got his contact with the admissions rep that does that. So we're going to try to get him over at our school. And then also Northern Arizona University does that on the spot too. So they're going to do that for our students. So we appreciate you sharing these ideas. It's great to have that partnership and share this with our county and with all the other school counselors. Thank you so much for being part of our podcast and for taking time out of your day.
Yeah, I mean, we really appreciate it. We're interested in the, what are we talking about, the boot camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, the boot camp, the summer boot camp was an idea we were tossing around because we've got something similar kind of coming up for the PSAT day that we were doing. So I really appreciate everything that's going on and looking, maybe we can get Stanislaus out.
Yeah, I tried to get him on that day, but they're busy that day. They can't come October 10th.
Anything else?
That's pretty much it. We got a couple of students coming from La Sierra High School in Nord Vista that graduated a few years ago, so we're going to talk to them. So you guys will hear from them soon.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's a great experience, and I like to be able to, I guess, provide additional help if you need anything else. Anything else that comes up, I, you know, offer my help, support, and I guess access to anything that you need. Thank you.
My name is Staff Sergeant Guzik. I'm with the Marines over here in RSS Riverside. I work with Nord Vista High School, Patriot High School, and all the other high schools and schools around the Riverside area.
Can you share how educators can help the military, even the Marines, with recruits as far as if they're deciding to go into the military or not?
Yes, they can just share all the different opportunities and options that the students have after they graduate high school, whether it actually be college, whether it be the military or even technical schools. That way the students are actually informed of all the different options that they have and all the different educational opportunities. Whether they serve on active duty or reserves, they can use those educational opportunities and those intangible benefits that they gain from the military to be successful in life. They can use the FAFSA benefit on top of the educational benefits they actually receive in the military. That way they can actually pocket some of that money or use it towards books, on top of even scholarships. The students would be able to use this money with tuition assistance or even the GI Bill for while they're in.
Can you also talk about the Marine Educator Tour?
Yes, so Ms. Grijalva from Nord Vista, she actually participated in the Marine Educators Workshop. It's during the summer. Definitely encourage any administrators, counselors, or teachers to be able to participate in the Educators Workshop. They see the transformation from recruit to Marine while they're down in MCRD San Diego, while also seeing some of the different other programs that the Marines have.
And can you share your experience at Nord Vista High School?
Yes, so in Nord Vista High School, they have Reach Higher events where they bring out all the different colleges, technical schools, and military branches to where all the students can actually come by and see what options they have after they can graduate high school. On top of that, the campus is very open to the military recruiters coming by during lunch. That way they can meet the students, engage with them, and that way the students feel comfortable asking them questions about the different opportunities and options they would have after they graduate. On top of that, I was able to participate in the lip sync challenge and dance with the Reach Higher Club. That way they're working towards bringing the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, to Nord Vista High School. So hopefully they can achieve that goal this year.
And we love that you give back and you're always volunteering at our school with all of our students in our community. And also you give presentations in the Career Center about scholarships. Can you talk a little bit about the NROTC scholarship and the junior scholarship?
Yes, so with the NROTC scholarship, they actually are able to go to college straight after graduating high school. It offers up to $180,000 for the students to be able to use at universities. It's very competitive scholarship, but if the students have the SAT scores and they're physically fit and they're leaders throughout the community, it's definitely a good opportunity for them to be able to get that scholarship.
Can you talk about the Junior Leadership Program?
Yes, so with the Leadership Academy, the students can actually, it's open to sophomores, juniors, and the students can actually go to Washington, D.C. area. They can learn from different leaders throughout the Marine Corps, also leaders from the community, some of the Holocaust survivors. The trip is totally paid for, and they can learn some leadership skills through this trip, on top of engaging in some of the physical activities with the Marines and being able to see some of the areas in Washington, D.C.
That's awesome, and our recruiters really get involved. They're going to the FAFSA workshop September 10th, and Staff Sergeant's also going to participate in our Beating the Odds Summit. We're going to have a panel of educators coming to that event. So we're very grateful for you, so thank you for all you do and for serving our country. We got two students with us that graduated from Wasser High School, class of 2015, and Norda Vista High School, class of 2018. We'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Emmanuel Hidon. I'm a fourth year at Cal Poly Pomona, and I'm currently studying civil engineering.
Hi, my name is Bianca Rocha, and I am a freshman at Wasser University, and my major is criminal justice.
So Emmanuel was one of the first classes in Alvord District to promote the Reach Higher campaign. They were also the first large school to win the FAFSA completion contest in the Riverside County area. So they won a big banner after they graduated with over, I think it was almost 90% submissions and 85% completions. Yeah, they were pretty high in the completion rate. So if you could talk about how your class promoted financial aid and anything Reach Higher that you remember when you graduated.
Well, I think for us is mostly a lot of my class's background. A lot of us were Hispanic or just from minority backgrounds. And our parents really encouraged us to go to college, get a degree once we graduated from high school. But as a lot of us were like first generation and we didn't really know how to go about the process of applying for financial aid or really applying for college. But through like the help of the school administration, especially our counselors, I have to have a thank for a lot, really. She really encouraged me and helped me out with the process. They really just encouraged us and gave us all the information that we needed to work in order to be successful in applying for colleges, whether that was out of state or in state for the UC, CSU system. We also kind of, I remember when I was a senior, I talked to my friends about it as well, just because I know a lot of them didn't really have money to go to school. I know their parents didn't save up, so I knew that was definitely a necessity for me. So I applied as soon as I could so I could try to get as much money as I can. And thankfully, to this day, I'm still getting financial aid. Without it, I really don't know if I'd be able to go to school. It'd be really difficult. School nowadays is really expensive than it was 20 years ago. But I'm thankful because of our counselors and administration that were there for us and supported us and gave us all the tools that we needed to succeed. Even nowadays, some of the information I can still give to younger people that come around. And there's even people in college that don't really know how the financial aid system works. And because I'm so involved, my first year I was there basically every week, I'm able to help them out as well.
The question was, when you were in high school, class of 2018, what did you guys do there at the high school to kind of promote the whole Reach Higher and the college-going environment?
Well, since I was a part of the Reach Higher Club and I was also a part of the AVID, we did many things to promote it. So basically, we would have, for example, workshops after school, which were the FAFSA workshops, and that was basically for anyone who wasn't in AVID or just anyone in general who needed help to apply for FAFSA would come after school, and we would personally help them one-on-one to do that. Also, we would, during class, we would also hang up posters, make posters that talked about the financial aid, talked about the UC systems, the Cal State systems, and basically just the main vocabulary words that they would need, knowing the difference between subsidized and unsubsidized loans. And that was just posters that we would hang up around the school, that way that they were able to read those and acknowledge what they were, because most people weren't able to know the difference between those things, so they really don't go into depth in them at their schools or in their classes. And so us promoting that was able to help them be able to have a resource that's not, since they weren't in AVID or in any programs that would really help them, that was a resource that they could be able to know that they could come to us and help, and we could help them personally. Oh, and then we also did videos at school. And where would we put these videos? Oh, yeah, we would put the dance videos on YouTube, and then we would show them. Yeah, we would create videos for them, too. And these were, like, funny videos, but also educational that we would hang up, like, or that we would hang up, that we would show them, like, after school, right?
Yeah, or, like,
or just on YouTube. And we also sent one to Michelle Obama. We tried to get her to come to our graduation 2018. And so making these videos would help them realize that they needed to reach higher, like, in our videos. And that was just something that helped them realize that they needed to do something else that had to do with college.
Manuel was going to talk about some of the videos he did in the class of 2015. There was a Reach Higher video. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't part of it, but I remember a few of my friends. I think ASB was like the main tool that was really utilized to kind of promote that. We didn't have a Reach Higher club back then. I don't know if it's a thing now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was ASB that mainly was promoting all this. And I remember they had, they would go out, they make posters, they made videos. I remember one video, it had three of my really good friends that I still talk to this day, and they were, I don't remember exactly what the video was, but they were just promoting to apply for financial aid in just the most entertaining way they could. So at the time, ASB was like the tool that's being mostly utilized. Although I wasn't really in ASB, I was really involved in high school with ASB and Renaissance.
And the three friends he's talking about actually made the White House video with Michelle Obama at the time, and they also got a letter sent to our school from Michelle Obama congratulating their class on the financial aid completion. So that's actually hanging up in the office, and the kids are proud of that. And then also Bianca was talking about the other videos. So they did like a dance video that replicated Michelle Obama and Ellen dance, the Uptown Funk. And that was a lot of fun. They were wearing college and military gear. We recently did a video. It's a lip sync challenge. If you want to check it out, it's on the NVHS Reaches Higher channel. And it's comedy, but we also had a little seriousness to it. We had a lot of fun with it. So if you want to check it out, it's called Reach Higher Lip Sync. All right. So Emmanuel, if you could talk about the engineering major and how you were able to get into it, because I know it's impacted. Maybe you can give some tips to college or actually high school students.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, I'm at Cal Poly Pomona, and it's one of the most impacted engineering programs in the country. Is actually I was on the wait list before I even got accepted in my senior year. I didn't find out I got accepted until my day of my graduation, which it was
late.
Yeah, it was really late, and I was really stressed. I was kind of nervous that I wouldn't
Where
get accepted.
Were you gonna go? 'Cause you had to SAR
somewhere. I had CSU Long Beach as my backup.
Okay.
Just down the street too, but because I knew the Pomona program was a lot better than Long Beach, that was my first choice, and a lot of my friends were going to Pomona at the time. So my best advice to you high school students would be, it starts as early as you can. You really got to get involved with the campus and just your community in general. Because even nowadays, I'm still involved in my community. In college, I do some philanthropy work. I'm involved in various clubs and organizations. So what you do starts now. It really does matter. I'd say get involved as early as you can and take whatever, try to decide what you want to do in your future as early as possible. It's kind of hard. I know when I was applying to colleges, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, but I had a love for science and math. I think calculus and some of the design courses I took in high school kind of sparked that, but I definitely recommend just trying to get involved as much as you can, because that's where you'll find what you really love and what you'll enjoy. And if you decide you don't want to study whatever you start off with, that's okay. I mean, I have plenty of friends that switched their major once they got into their perspective. Exactly. Yeah. My twin brother, actually, he started out as a psychology major at Cal Poly Pomona, but he realized it wasn't for him. So he switched after his first year into construction engineering. He's loving now. He'll be graduating next fall, so same as me. She got in a little earlier because psychology wasn't as impacted.
Yeah, so Bianca is going to be doing criminal justice at La Salle University. So Can you talk a little bit about why you chose criminal justice and kind of why last year at university in particular?
Well, I'm a first year college generation. First generation for my family personally. And it was a lot of pressure figuring out what major I wanted to do because, well, my parents wanted me to do a major that made money. And that's just something that most people are pressured into. And so I was going to go into nursing because that's what I figured would make money. But as I started to realize that that's not something I wanted to do, I really couldn't figure out what I wanted to do exactly. So I just kind of figured out once I was applying to my CSUs and my UCs, I was like really undecisive, and I was just going to go into them undeclared to any Cal State or UC undeclared and then figure it out once I was doing my general ed. But when I was really young, I would watch a lot of like documentaries about like criminal justice related topics. So I just figured, I was like, oh, this is what I want to do maybe. So I went into criminal justice. I applied for criminal justice to my UCs and my Cal States. And I went to a tour at La Sierra University for the criminal justice campus. And the criminal justice campus is different from the main campus. So I went to the Corona campus and I did a tour. And everything that they had there was really amazing. And I just realized that it's true that when people say that you know a college is for you when you feel at home when you're there, and you just know that it's the college for you. It's just a feeling you get. So when I was at Law State University, that's the feeling I got. And so I just realized, I was like, I want to come here. And I know it's expensive, but I just knew I was going to make it happen some way. So I applied and I got accepted. And I did get accepted to some Cal States and some UCs. But I realized that Law State University, I was debating between Cal State San Bernardino and Law State University and Johnson & Wales in Colorado. Yeah, right? Yeah. And then I was debating between Cal State San Bernardino because I figured that was the cheapest option for me and I didn't get much financial aid. So that's where I was going to go for my criminal justice. And then I got a soccer scholarship in Johnson & Wales in Colorado, so I was going to go there. And then afterwards, I got accepted to Law State University, but financial aid there, they weren't giving me much. And I just figured that I was just going to leave to Colorado or go to San Bernardino because those were the cheapest options for me. Believe it or not, going out of state was the cheapest option for me. But as we started to realize, I started to sit down and talk with Reyes about it. And we decided that, well, we talked it out and we talked about how Cal State San Bernardino was the cheapest option for me, but what was going to be the best option for me in the long run? Where was I going to be able to get a job afterwards, after I graduated better? And so we decided that at Law State University, since it was a smaller campus, I was going to get much more help personally, one-on-one, rather than a bigger school, which was going to be a larger ratio from teacher to student. And then we realized that at Law State University, there was a lot of amazing stuff that they did. It was a lot of physical training, and then it was stuff that's like more hands-on rather than more research material. So then I decided I was going to go to Law State University because of that. And the financial aid at the end of the day worked out. And so I just decided I was going to go there. And then I ended up getting the soccer scholarship there. So that's what I did. That's how I chose Law State University and criminal justice overall.
So something that Bianca mentioned earlier was that she toured these campuses and she felt really at home at La Sierra University. That's something that's really important because whether you're like a senior that is going to be going to some prestigious university like Princeton or a community college like RCC or a freshman, you gotta really take into account how you feel at the campus because you're gonna be spending the next 4 or 5, however many years there. You gotta feel like you're at home there. You gotta feel like you're safe and you really belong. I think that's something that a lot of seniors don't really take into account. They just, because it's whatever name of the university, it's some prestigious university, so they automatically want to go there, but they don't take into account if they really fit in with the culture and the atmosphere of what the university is like. So that's something that I definitely recommend. Whether you get accepted or you're just applying, I definitely recommend that you need to go out there and tour those campuses to get a feel of if you're actually like living there, especially if you're going out of state, because your first year, you're most likely going to live on campus.
Can you both share any tips or something you wish you knew when you were in high school that you know now?
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, it starts as early as you can. I mean, it's hard when you're a freshman thinking about college because it seems so far away, but it's really not that far away. High school, even college, I'm in my fourth year now. It flew by. I'm going to start working the next few years. Start as early as you can. I mean, just anything that you can do to benefit your future, even if you don't know what you want to go into, just explore all your options and get involved. And something that I wish I would have done is taken my AP courses a little bit more seriously. those will save you money and they will help you out in the long run. I mean, even if you are retaking the course or taking higher level classes once you get to the university, it gives you the background that you need to really succeed in those classes and thoroughly understand the material that's being taught to you. In high school, they're actually really lenient with how they teach you. They're really patient. And once you get to college, at least in my experience, mine's a polytechnic university, so that means it's a hands-on learning. So we do a lot of lab work as well as book work.
What would I have done differently? Well, starting as a freshman, I think every class like really does add up to your GPA. So taking every class seriously is really important. And I just figured, especially your A through G requirements, those are really essential. Making sure that you do your A through G requirements and you talk to your counselor before, like your freshman year, and realize what your schedule is going to be like for the next 4 years. Because I knew people who were in their senior year, second semester, barely taking a class that they needed to take their sophomore year, like health or something. And those are your requirements. I think that's something I wish I knew more about, that I needed to take my classes seriously. Also, something I wish I knew was, probably what he said about the AP and IB classes. Those are really essential because those are your college credit. And as you're taking your college credit and actually going to your school and turning that into them, it's really important because that does save you money, and then it saves you a lot of time. Like, I know my IB classes, like, I did pass IB English, and I did pass my other IB classes, so that's saving me a lot of time, and right now I don't have to take those classes, so that really helps me out. And then another tip I do have is for high school students is don't go into a major for the money. Do it because you love it. That's really important. I really do think so, and I know that criminal justice, for example, for me, I know that I'm going to love it, and I already do, so I just think that's really important. Don't feel pressured to do to listen to what others want you to do. Do something that you want to, because doing what others want you to do isn't going to make you happy at the end of the day, and it just matters what you want to do to make you yourself happy. I think that's really important, personally.
Right, because after you graduate, that's going to be the job or the field that you're going to go into, and if you don't enjoy what you're doing or love, the next 40 years are going to feel long.
I was also going to say, like, we ran into Emmanuel at Cal Poly Pomona a few weeks ago while we were on an AVID trip. And one of the things that I love about Emmanuel is that he takes care of himself. Like, it's important to work out. And he was actually coming out of the gym. So when you guys go to college, be sure you take care of yourselves, work out. Maybe Emmanuel can kind of share how he balances working out and studying and all that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it might not seem like, with everything that you have on your plate, it might seem like exercising isn't really should be a priority of yours, but that really affects how your mind and how you perform throughout your day. I like to go to the gym early in the morning. That helps me wake up. That helps me get my day started. I feel a lot more energized and a lot more productive, and that actually will increase your productivity throughout the day. And I know there's like this freshman 15 myth.
I don't know about myth.
You can gain that whenever, really. But it's like, especially those of you that have played sports the last 4 years or wherever, once you go to college and you decide you're not playing that sport anymore, you get out of shape. So you need to start taking your health very seriously, mental and physical. You don't want to just be doing homework and, being involved in your other clubs. Do something that you're... that'll help your body will think later on. Now, along with balancing, it's really, a lot of people tell you it's time management, and yeah, it is, but it's also about prioritizing. So, you know, if you have a quiz due tomorrow morning and an assignment due tomorrow night, you should probably do the quiz first. It's, you just really got to prioritize what you value first and foremost, and that comes along with schoolwork, your health, campus involvement, family, financial. I know a lot of people like myself, I work. You got to be able to just prioritize everything and be a little more self-disciplined, really. Because it's easy to say, oh, it's Thursday or Friday night, I want to go out, I want to be with my friends. But, you know, if you have a big project due the next week, you should probably stay in and work on that for a little bit. You know, it's, you got to work before you go out and enjoy yourself and take care of yourself first.
I think another tip for high school students is networking. Making connections with your teachers is really important, and your counselors, and just people on campus that you know that will help you. And not even on campus, also in your community service places, extracurriculars. Networking is really important, and I think it's helped me a lot because I know a lot of my teachers have really advised me and gave me a lot of tips and helped me out, like, one-on-one on how to get to where I'm at right now, because personally, my parents aren't really aware of what's going on, and I think my teachers really helped me with that, and especially, like, my AVID classes, my IB classes, my counselors, and not just my personal counselors, but a lot of the other ones, too. They all helped me take the steps to get to applying to college, applying to my FAFSA, and I think that networking has helped me because I do know that some of my teachers have helped me get in connection with other teachers at, for example, Lausier University, and they have helped me be able to get those connections and give them advice and tell them about how I am as a person, and that way they know how I am, and they would help me more, especially because they know that from other people that I'm not someone that I'm a good person, I guess that's what you could say, right? So I just think that networking is really important and having that good connection with them, because they're going to be the people who do help you in the long run, because you need to start making your connections, not even from your junior, senior year. It has to be all the way from your freshman year, because those teachers, for example, if you want to go back and ask them if they could help you with something, even as you're going into college, they're going to help you if they know you and they know that you're someone who deserves it. So I think that's really important, networking.
And at the end of our podcast, we always share our sunshine spotlight. So if you guys could share at least one thing that made you happy this past week, or even today.
Well, I got all my schoolwork done. I got all my exercising for the week done. And I just actually enrolled for, or not enrolled, but I just got done signing up for my engineering training program that I'm going to be taking a test on next month. So that's exciting. Should be fun.
I turned 18 last Sunday, so that's something exciting for me. Yeah, finally. I'm like the one of the younger ones in my class. Yeah, I've been graduated for 2 months, and I barely turned 18. Finally. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's the highlight of my week.
We toured UC San Diego yesterday, which you've done before, Bianca, with me. So we did UC San Diego, and then we did the beach for a little while. Yeah, a different little beach. So that was probably the highlight of the week. Never mind the redness of my shoulders, because they're pretty bad.
My neck right here
is pretty bad. Yeah, but my shoulders look even worse. But that was the highlight of my week. The kids really liked the campus. The beach was fun, and now they're planning their own senior luau. Like at the beach is what they want to go for.
Yeah, Reyes is all tan now.
It looks darker than normal.
I guess mine is seeing you two here today. Like, you're so successful, and I'm proud of you. And just even Emmanuel, I haven't seen in a while, but knowing that you're doing well in college and you're almost done. And then also, we just had a Reach Higher Fair this past week. It was our kickoff, and it was very busy. Yeah. So we have a short video of that on our NVHS Reaches Higher. As you can see, there's a ton of kids out there doing both lunches. Just saw the freshmen, seeing them talking to the colleges and the military. It was awesome. So check it out. And then in the future, our next podcast, we have a counselor from Rancho Verde High School, which is in Val Verde Unified School District. They just won the FAFSA championship, 97% completion rate. So we'll talk to that counselor at our next podcast. So be sure you stay tuned. We'll also talk about our Beating the Odds Summit that's coming up September 18th at Nora Vista, so we'll share about that. So be sure to tune in. Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.